Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
One of the biggest stories of recent times is the very unnerving unveiling of the despicable deeds of television presenter and radio DJ Jimmy Savile. Story so vile, it's a tough one to talk about. It's still quite fresh in people's minds. So one would wonder, is it perhaps too soon to address the disgraced entertainer by writing a play about him? Jonathan Maitland's new play, An Audience with Jimmy Savile, has created quite a buzz of controversy, and he's on the line to talk about it. Jonathan, nice. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Ron. Apologies for the train in the background. I'm in a waiting room at a train station, so apologies if the odd train thunders.
No, I appreciate that. Thanks for clarifying that in advance, so we know that you're not under attack or anything else. So let's get down to business a little bit, Jonathan, and ask you a little bit about why you alighted on the story of Jimmy Savile to be the subject of this play.
Well, like you said in your introduction, it's an incredibly important story. It's probably the most important story of the last 10 years, I think. And I'm a journalist and I cover these stories for television all the time. And I can't think of a story that has had a greater impact on society because it impacts on the way we look after our children, whether we believe them or not, the way we treat allegations of abuse and the way we treat celebrities, you know, our cravenness before celebrity. It's incredibly important. It says a lot about our legal system as well. So, you know, I can't think of any reason not to tackle a subject like this if you're a writer and you want to do interesting work.
I suppose there's a generational thing for some of the younger listeners to this programme, because we're in Ireland and Jimmy Savile was ostensibly a UK phenomenon, although we did get Jim Will Fix It and Top of the Pops here down through the years. I'm 42, so therefore I would have grown up wishing I could have been on Jim Will Fix It. When it was happening, I'm sure you're not a million miles away from that too. But for the other kind of 20 and to an extent 30 somethings listening today, how would you describe who Jimmy Savile was to them? Because he's such a peculiar entity.
Well, I mean, for people who weren't familiar with the phenomenon that was Jimmy Savile, he was probably the most famous and loved and trusted man in Britain. He was so trusted that when you wanted to do, the government wanted to do a public information campaign about trains or wearing seatbelts, they got Jimmy Savile to do it. He was incredibly famous. He had a program called Jim Will Fix It, where young people would write in and ask to swim with dolphins or fly with the red arrows or whatever. Mm. And that was the highest rated and most successful show on British TV for about 10 years. So he was kind of a combination of Mother Teresa, Gay Byrne, the Pope, Robbie Williams. I mean, it's just extraordinary. We've got to think, in those days, there weren't many different outlets. There was just three TV channels, and BBC One was the biggest, and he was the biggest star on the biggest channel.
And with that in mind, he was untouchable.
Well, yes. Well, also, he was untouchable because he did an amazing amount of stuff for charity. So not only have you got a guy who's very famous and very successful and very loved, he raised something like £40 million for Stoke Mandeville Hospital, which is a world-famous hospital that deals with spinal injuries. Now, I mean, the big issue is, did he do that so he could carry out all these assaults? Because, you know, he was, without a doubt, one of the most prolific sexual abusers in Britain. Or did he do it because he wanted to do it, because it was a good thing and he felt somehow that the good that he did offset the bad? But you're absolutely right, Ryan. He was untouchable. So it's a very, very good reason for doing a play, I think.
You know? Yeah, no, absolutely.
How can someone,
Your play, how can someone get away with something so grotesque? And the play uses transcripts, interviews, you know, from TV shows and other things. So I suppose we need to kind of get under the skin of the grotesque bit for a minute and give us an indication, Jonathan, as to what Jimmy Savile was exposed as, what class of creature we're dealing with ultimately.
Well, he did so many sexual assaults on girls and boys and young girls and young boys, ranging from the ages, I think, of 5 to, you know, adults. He did hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. It may even be over 1,000. Now, some of them were just rather creepy, horrible, sticking his tongue in people's mouths. And some, I'm afraid, were
The extreme end, yeah.
I would just say raping children. It's not nice, but you have to say it because that's what he did. And if for people who say, how do we know that's true? He was never found guilty in court. Well, that's the whole point of the play. You know, I've spoken to and read the transcripts of several people who were attacked by him very, very seriously. And you only have to look in their eyes to know, A, that they're telling the truth, and B, if they're not, it would be quite an extraordinary coincidence for 800 people to all make up the same thing independently of each other.
Yeah. What's so extraordinary is the litany of crimes that he committed are down through the decades, and nothing. That, you know, any bit I would have read a cursory, you know, reports and so on, you would have been right in the heart of the matter, researching your play, no doubt. But any time there was a sniff of police investigation, it disappeared.
Well, that's absolutely right. And the reason for that is the way the legal system in Britain was then, and to a certain extent still is, which is that a newspaper editor would say, right, I'm going to publish this story about you abusing young girls. And he would say, OK, or his lawyers would say, OK, are you going to put them in court? Because they've got no one on their side. And they're, as he called them, dodgy girls from a dodgy school who are too afraid to go into court because they'll get turned to mincemeat by his very good lawyers. Whereas on his side, he had the great and the good. He had the BBC, the NHS, Mrs. Thatcher, Prince Charles, Lady Diana. You know, the list is endless. Very, very high up policemen, all who would have gone in court and said, Jimmy is one of the finest men in Britain. These girls are liars. So he manipulated the system. And it's no wonder he got away with it, because I think the police and the Crown Prosecution Service looked at it and said, well, we don't stand a hope, you know, that the dice are loaded against us.
So the play itself then, Jonathan, is it an evening, an audience, I should say, with Jimmy Savile. What can I expect if I was sitting in the audience? What's the gist out of it?
Well, it's first of all, we should say that it's just finished a very successful run in London.
Yeah, congratulations.
To Edinburgh.
Yeah.
So it's on at the Edinburgh Festival from August 11th to August the 22nd. What you can expect is a very intense experience. It's based on a kind of This Is Your Life show.
Okay.
You know, a kind of celebratory show. But intercut with the hagiography, with all the praise, is the search by a young woman who was abused by him for justice. So it's a kind of, there's two stories going on along parallel lines.
Very, very clever and intriguing. Now, one of the things I'm interested as well to ask you is, given the fact that it's gone down so well with the punters, the British public who so adored him, or maybe their parents did, and now you've got this audience all filling out the theatres to look at your play, why do you think people are so fascinated by something so macabre?
Because I think they just can't believe how we got away with it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I'm fascinated by it. I mean, I'm appalled by it, but, you know, to think that somebody, I mean, there was a book about him called In Plain Sight, and that's what he did. He hid in plain sight. The fact, normally, an abuser would be, you know, going deep cover, incognito, not being known, you know, have dark glasses over their eyes and a balaclava or whatever. This guy was wearing lurid tracksuits, lots of bling. He was on primetime television every night. He was the most famous man in Britain, and he was doing it in front of us, before our very eyes, virtually, in some cases. There's footage of him presenting Top of the Pops, and he's actually assaulting women while he's doing it. He was doing that for 50 years. We think we're a fair, just, democratic society. We kind of all had I think we've had a kind of collective national nervous breakdown over it, because it's like, how on earth did we let this happen? And I think that's why people are fascinated by it, because if you'd said to somebody that the most famous and loved and trusted man in Britain was in fact a prolific paedophile and rapist for 50 years, they'd quite rightly say, well, you must be mad. But no, we're not mad. That's what happened.
Well, we have our own difficult relationship with figures of authority and child abuse down through the years in this country, which I'm sure you're more than familiar with in the past. But that's for another day, and maybe that's probably to an extent why we're keen to talk to you about your play. I do want to ask you one more thing about Alistair McGowan, which is, of course, he's one of the foremost mimics. I presume he'd prefer another title. I'm not quite sure, but he's particularly talented at doing what he does. And that was a great, I think you worked with him in the past anyway, but a great coup to get a big name to play this. I presume he's excellent as Savile, I can only imagine.
He's incredible. I mean, I was worried that a lot of critics would say this isn't acting, this is mimicry. But you read there's been about 30 reviews of the play, and about 75% of them are very positive about the play, and 25% are dismissive. And you know, that's what happens when you write a play. You know, some people don't like it, and that's fine. But even the 25% who don't particularly care for the play are unanimous in their praise for Alistair. It's an extraordinary mixture of mimicry and acting and performance, and he is just fantastic. And he had some reservations about doing the role, but people whose opinions he respected said to him, look, it's the right thing to do because you're getting the issue talked about and you're, in effect, putting him on trial, the trial he never had. And so I'm very pleased for him that people have recognised his performance for what it is. And it's just remarkable, that's all I can say.
OK, so good thing, bad thing. What is the most annoying thing for you as the writer of the play that people keep saying to you about it? What's annoying you about that? The negative thing
nothing,
that keeps...
Well, I mean, a few of the critics critics that didn't like it said it was curiously lacking in drama. And that really rather bemused me, because we've had people fainting, we've had people crying in the toilet, we've had people traumatised, we've had people sobbing afterwards, and we've had the other 80% of people saying it's the most gripping 1 hour, 25 minutes they've ever spent in a theatre. So I don't find that annoying, I just find that kind of bemusing. Another annoying thing is when people say it's long on exposition, which is long on telling people what he did. You know, it's a bit kind of CV-ish. But that annoys me because they're assuming that the public, the general public, know as much about Savile as they do. And not everybody has PhD in Jimmy Savileology. And it's necessary for a play like this to tell younger people, your listeners, what he did, why he was famous, and what he got up to. But, you know, it's the price you pay for a seat at the table. If you write a play, people are going to comment on it, and that's why theatre is so special. I think they kind of care about theatre more than possibly any other art form, and they're going to have very strong views about it.
And on the other side of that particular coin, what do you find most gratifying in terms of comments from people?
I just think generally that I've been vindicated, and that I always knew it was the right thing to do. I'm not trying to set myself up as some crusader or hero, because I'm not. The heroes are the people who tried complaining and were brave enough to, you know, go it alone and to say this happened and they weren't believed. They're the heroes. But I'm just pleased that, you know, all the kind of knee-jerk reaction of, ooh, you shouldn't be doing this, has been proved wrong, and that people have said it's an important piece of work, and that's great, and I'm very pleased by that.
Yeah, I think, you know, it'd be worth considering, even if it's just for a jaunt, to consider bringing it over to a theatre in Dublin at some point, or in Ireland somewhere, because there would be curiosity and an appetite for a drama like this at some point, and you know we like our theatre here, so that's food for thought, Jonathan.
Thank you.
And good luck with the show in Edinburgh with Alistair and the rest of the crew.
Thank you, Ryan.
Intriguing prospect. So good luck with it all, and thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Cheers.